touchdown, and away we go.
Scott and Rick.
I don't really have a lot to comment on that.
Andy and Sunday have crashed. They've got into each other.
I wasn't listening. No idea what you're speaking about.
This is the F1 Podcast. Two soft compounds.
Hello, I am Scott Hughes.
I'm Rick Horton.
And we are the Two Soft Compounds, and we've had four in a row, four good races now. I don't know what's happened. We had a very kind of rubbish, quiet, boring, just weird start to the season, and then it's gone the other way now. We've had these four great races in a row.
I think Max Verstappen and the emergence of Honda and Red Bull's partnership have been really good, and you can see they've made, you know, leaps and bounds since the start of the season. That's given us a bit of excitement on track. The Hungary race just last weekend, it wasn't the most spectacular race, but at least it gave us some of the drama of the fact that it wasn't just Mercedes being dominant. You know, Red Bull were right up there. Well, one of the Red Bull drivers was right up there, and I guess we'll get to Gasly soon.
Yeah, it is interesting to see that Mercedes have had a bit of a wobble, and then, like you say, the Red Bulls have come good. The Ferraris are kind of somewhere in the middle as well. They have some good days, some bad days. But it's good that, you know, like you say, more teams are getting up there, and it's great to see the Red Bulls, you know. And I think if you're a driver like Max that has got all that kind of that passion and that, you know, he wants to prove a point, he wants to show that he can be a future world champion. So you give him a car that is kind of there, not quite, but kind of there, and he will show you what he can do in it, which is a very Lewis trait, isn't it? You know, give him a car. I think he won a race in the McLaren that time when the McLaren was just not really a race-winning car. So those are the kind of drivers that will show you, you know, give me a, you know, three quarters of the car there and I'll give you a win. Give me a race-winning car and I'll give you a win every race. And it's good to see, yeah.
The interesting thing I read about Max Verstappen this week is there was talk that there was a clause in his contract that if he wasn't happy, he could leave Red Bull. And someone was explaining the clause a little bit in more detail. And apparently it was that if they get to the summer break and Verstappen was not in the top three of the world championship, he could leave Red Bull.
Right.
But of course, he's now third in the world championship.
Yeah.
So that clause is null and void and he stays with Red Bull for the 2020 season.
Okay, he's close to being second as well. I think he's only a few points away from second place, isn't he? So, and there's even talk now of, you know, can this resurgence, can he win the championship this year, which I think is a little bit dramatic.
Yes.
But, you know, it's good that he's up there, and it's good that, you know, and almost to a point where, you know, we've had this conversation about Bottas before. Is he a good overtaker? Is he right for that seat? And I think with Bottas, he lacks a little bit, like you've said before, he lacks that overtaking ability. He's not got the Verstappen, he's not got the, you know, Vettel has it sometimes and doesn't other times. Verstappen's got it, you know, Hamilton's got it. And I don't think Bottas has it. It's like that killer, Ricciardo's got it. You know, certain drivers have it, that killer instinct and that killer overtaking sort of power and experience. Apparently Mercedes are going to make the decision over the summer. We've all had a drink. But they're going to make the decision over the summer, and that is, you know, who they're putting in the car next year. I am leaning towards them going with Ocon, I think.
Yeah, I thought for me, Hungary was, I wrote in my notes as the race was on, turning point for Bottas.
Mm.
He just seemed, opening lap, he locked up his wheels twice, which caused those tussles that he had. Leclerc, I think, did move in on him somewhat aggressively for no particular reason. But that was just him defending a place, I suppose. And I thought, you know what? He just seems lackluster in the mix, and it's kind of gone back to how he was at the end of last season, where he kind of gave up, and that's the sort of sense that I got from the Hungary race, where he knows things are going to be decided upon during the summer break. And did he give it his all? I'm just not sure. And the other thing that I had was based on Germany a few weeks ago, when he was behind Stroll and he just didn't seem to be making lunges up the inside. He just seemed lackluster to me.
Yeah, and he went from second to fifth, like you say, in the opening lap. So just, and I've written the same thing. I've put, you know, with the job situation they've got there, it was the worst possible scenario, really, for Bottas. But as I say, I get the feeling that Mercedes have a little bit of a twinkle in their eye, don't they? And they like a little risk every now and again, I think. And particularly when they're as good as they are at the moment. And I just get the funny feeling that they might take a risk on Ocon. And what that means for Bottas, where he ends up last year, there's rumours that he might go to Haas, or, you know, or the remaining driver might go to Haas. There's talk of Renault possibly replacing Hülkenberg. You know, the silly season has begun. There's talk of Vettel swapping with Hamilton. There's talk of Verstappen swapping with Vettel, and you know all these rumors are coming around. It's I like it when a big piece moves into place in the city, and that usually happens over the summer break, which we've got coming up. Someone will make a big move, like Ricciardo last year, and it sort of everything else then falls into place behind it. So.
Yeah, I mean, interesting, isn't it? Well, I guess we're going to do a bit of a half-term report later on the podcast to talk about people who've done things correctly, people who've made mistakes, people who've got regrets. And, you know, Ricciardo's right up there at the moment with people who may be regretting the decisions they made. Carlos Sainz in the Hungary Grand Prix did a great job finishing fifth, and they are now the fourth team, really, mm-hmm. McLaren. Really good to see. And Kimi Raikkonen, you know, consistently good, consistently finishing in the points. Gio Giovinazzi just nowhere to be seen. And that's another driver who could be at risk during the silly season.
Yeah, Raikkonen is one of those drivers. Doesn't matter how old he gets or how long he's been in F1, he still puts in a performance every time, doesn't he?
Follow Two Soft Compounds on Twitter and Facebook. Search for Two Soft Compounds.
I think for me, we've talked about Gasly for many, many episodes of this podcast, and Hungary again, a turning point, really. You know, Max puts it on pole for his first ever pole position, which is great. But then you look at the timing sheets and you see that Gasly's 0.8 seconds off Max's pace in the same car. I don't get it, really. I mean, at the start of the season, people said about Gasly, well, he's getting used to a different car, and therefore he's getting used to driving within different parameters than he's been used to previously at Toro Rosso, which has the same engine. And so I was kind of like, really? And I hark back to when we go go-karting. You know, if me and you turn up and do one of these charity races, or we race for whoever, more often than not, you'll do three or four races in one evening, let's say, and each time you'll be in a different kart, mm-hmm. and they all have different characteristics. Some of them may not steer into the corners as nicely. Some of them may have a lower pickup on the throttle, that sort of thing. But you adapt, and the likes of me and you, who are by no means professional motor racing drivers, but you adapt, and your lap times increase, and you become better very quickly over the course of 20 minutes, mm-hmm. in the case of karting. I just don't get why Gasly has still not mastered that Red Bull car, and that makes me think at the half-term point that he just isn't very good. It's a real disappointment, because we talked about, you know, every team needs a number two driver, but Gasly's like a number five driver in mm-hmm. Red Bull, and it's really frustrating, obviously for him, but and for the team now, and I think they're going to have to do something about it.
Yeah, and I think, you know, they've got the issue of they haven't really got any amazing up-and-comers. They've got Kvyat, obviously, and they've got Albon as well. And what was interesting is, I think it was about lap 19, the Toro Rosso boys, you know, had a big tussle between the two of them, and it's fascinating to see Kvyat's confidence has gone through the roof since he got that third place. And also Albon is, you know, he's a great driver as well, but he's saying, if I can beat Kvyat now, that'll send a message as well. And those guys are all sending messages from midfield onwards to the top team, saying, you know, I would be a great move for you to have in your team next year. But what fascinates me the most is that word confidence. So it's coming back with Kvyat. He's had some good performances. And I think you go to the Toro Rosso, the pressure's off. You're not in the main team. You can get your confidence back. You can get your head together, get yourself back together, and off you go. And is that what's needed? Did they move Gasly way too quickly? He needs to go back to a Toro Rosso for a couple of years, get his head together, and then he might be faster again. Is he just not good enough? Is he, you know, have they moved him too soon? Has he got in that team and lost his confidence? And, you know, and it's that question, I suppose, isn't it? They've said that they won't take him out of the team for the rest of this year. But, you know, I felt when they removed Kvyat, I felt that was a bit harsh at the time. But when you saw that they put Max in that team, and when you saw what Max did immediately, you went, OK, no, I get it. That was the correct move. Mm. And that's the thing, you know. So does Kvyat deserve another chance? Probably. Is he a Max Verstappen? Probably not. So it's one of those where you go, you know, do you wait for your next Max and put them straight in the Red Bull? Or do you give them another chance to build their confidence? It's you know, it's all confidence, but certain drivers just will never be a Max or a Lewis. You know, they're good, but they're not great.
We seem to have had confirmation this season that no drivers will be replaced during this season, which at one point we thought might happen. So Helmut Marko from the Red Bull side has said, no, no, we're sticking with this lineup till the end of the year. And also at Mercedes, they've said the same thing about Bottas. And we're hearing the same sort of thing from Williams too. So it looks as though decisions made over this summer break will be based on the 2020 season. And then we all know that 2021 is where they have the big rule changes. And I think it's me personally, I think it's more likely Hamilton makes a switch to Ferrari, for instance, for those new rule changes. That's what he did with Mercedes, and the hybrid era came in and they dominated. So that would make more sense to me than jumping a year early. But there will be movement this summer, I think, and that makes it exciting when we come back for the Grand Prix at Spa.
Leaving screeching skid marks all over the place. Two soft compounds.
Right then, let's get our resident stats man to tell us some of the hungry post-race stats. You can find him on Twitter, at Lights Out. It's Nicky, and here he is with the stats.
From Max Verstappen's maiden pole to Lewis Hamilton edging ever closer to Michael Schumacher's win record, here are five of the best statistics from the 2019 Hungarian Grand Prix weekend. Firstly, on Saturday, Max Verstappen took the first pole position of his career, becoming the 100th different driver to take pole position in Formula One history. Strangely, the Hungaro Ring is also the venue where Heikki Kovalainen became the sport's 100th different winner back in 2008. Verstappen's pole also makes the 2019 season the first since 2012 to give two maiden pole sitters over the course of a year. Both Verstappen and Charles Leclerc have taken their maiden poles this year, while Nico Rosberg and Pastor Maldonado became pole sitters for the first time in 2012. Lewis Hamilton took his 81st Formula One victory on Sunday, putting him 10 wins away from equaling Michael Schumacher's all-time record of 91 wins. It was Hamilton's 8th win of the season and his 7th at the Hungarian Grand Prix. Hamilton becomes the first driver to have taken back-to-back wins at the Hungaroring on two occasions, and Mercedes become the first team to take consecutive wins at the track since McLaren did so back in 2011 and 2012. Next up, George Russell recorded the best qualifying result of his career so far with 16th, narrowly missing out on reaching Q2. Russell finished the race in 17th, making this the first Grand Prix in his career where he's finished in a position lower than where he started. Lance Stroll is now the only driver not to lose a position from his starting place in 2019. The Canadian has gained 49 positions so far in 2019's races. Russell is now one of five drivers mathematically unable to win the 2019 World Championship. With 234 points left up for grabs in 2019, only the top 15 in the Drivers' Championship are still eligible to win this year's title. For Alex Albon to take the crown this year, he'd have to win every remaining race and score the fastest lap at every round, without Lewis Hamilton scoring a single point. And finally, after the Hungarian Grand Prix, Mercedes still lead the way for most laps completed in races so far this year, with 1,483 laps on the board. Red Bull are now just 12 laps behind them. The total distance covered by teams so far in 2019 is 67,604 kilometres. That's over 1.5 times the Earth's circumference, or almost 4 times the perimeter of mainland Britain.
Two soft compounds.
So, we're at the halfway stage of the season, just ahead of the summer break, which is actually underway right now. Silly season is going to come round, and hopefully we'll get some answers on some driver movement by the time we get to Spa in 3.5 weeks' time. But I thought it would be quite nice to look back at the season so far and talk about some of our favourite races, some of our least favourite, who's improved the most, for instance, who's been a big letdown and a disappointment. So let's start with most improved. I would personally say Max Verstappen and Red Bull.
Yep, he's definitely matured, hasn't he? And he's even when the radio call, when he said, you know, we got P2, still great points, guys, well done. Very mature radio, you know, bearing in mind he's just been overtaken and he took it on the chin. They made the wrong call on the tyres, but he went, yeah, cool, our day will come. And that's, you know, that's what you need. He's maturing nicely, Max. Brilliant.
I thought in Hungary we saw signs of Hamilton's old ways on the radio when he was getting frustrated with the team. When they said, keep the pressure on. He went, I can't keep the pressure on. You get the feeling he throws his toys out of the pram quite easily.
And Leclerc is like old Max Verstappen. He's making very amateur mistakes because he's trying to prove he's fast. So it's interesting how they're becoming each other, but then some of them are maturing on and moving on. So, yeah.
I saw someone on one of the forums. It was F1 armchair experts. They said they were convinced Ferrari would not win a race for the rest of this year. They just wouldn't be there. And obviously, looking at Hungary, 61 seconds behind the Ferraris were. So it just shows you the track that doesn't suit the car. I mean, they are really off the pace. And that also shows you just how well Red Bull have improved throughout the year.
I saw on social media as well, you talking about the stats and the drivers and how well they're doing. They actually asked Verstappen, Hamilton and Vettel how they thought they've done first half of the season. Vettel said 5 out of 10 and he said, you know, lots to improve on, which I agree with. Hamilton said, I think an 8.7 because there's always room for improvement. But he said it's his best start to a season that he can remember. And Max refused to put a number on it because he doesn't like putting numbers on it. So again,
he said it reminded him of school.
Yeah, he did it, which was not long ago, as he put on the end and then looked at Hamilton and smirked. But it's actually interesting because all three of the drivers, that's very much their personalities. You know, Vettel, very clinical, very German. You know, this is what I've done. This is what I need to do better. Hamilton is like, I'm brilliant, but I better not say 10 because that's embarrassing. And then you got Verstappen, who won't put a number on it. So I thought he brilliantly summed up their personalities.
Okay, this is probably an easy one for you, Scott. Race of the season?
It's got to be the rain race, isn't it? It's just absolutely incredible. You know, that German Grand Prix was just one of the best races I've ever seen, let alone this year.
I was looking at worst race of the season, and, you know, there were a few at the start, but I would definitely pick out China, France and Spain as being the most boring races. Yeah. When we got to France, after that we'd been through Spain and China, for instance, I thought, they can't have another mundane race here. And then it was. I was like, oh. I was seriously questioning whether we should carry on with a podcast at that stage. I was thinking, I need to find another sport. Welcome to sailing with Rick and Scott. And, you know, I mean, I was getting into the dumps over it. But then, of course, we've had the spate, as you say, of the last four races being good. Certainly, discounting Hungary, the three races that we had, Austria, Britain and Germany, were just fantastic. What about people who we think have made mistakes by being in Formula One this year? We talked about Daniel Ricciardo. Surely he's starting to think going to Renault is a mistake.
Financially, it was a very much a not mistake, wasn't it? With his 18, I think he's the third highest paid on the grid now, 18 million euros a year. But yeah, career wise, car wise, you know, they said that on Channel 4 this weekend. How upset will he be starting from the back of the pit lane with an engine change, watching his old teammate in his old car on pole position? And it's got to hurt, hasn't it? You know, a lot of people said that Hamilton was making the worst mistake of his career when he went to Mercedes. He called it right. The most famous example of the wrong calls has got to be Alonso. Always in the wrong team at the wrong time. He made a career out of that, and then you get other drivers that are very lucky, they get the right team at the right time. But yeah, I mean, Ricciardo's definitely up there. The Haas boys as well, I don't know what's happened at Haas, and you know, I know that's not their fault as such, but I'm wondering if they're questioning, you know, there's rumours that Grosjean might be going to Formula E next year. I would be surprised if those two drivers are with Haas next year as well. I think there's going to be some changes at Haas over the summer break.
Kubica, you know, just hasn't performed. Mm. He's had the catastrophic injury that we know about. Apparently, he brings a lot of sponsorship money into Williams, which is obviously something they're in need of at the moment. They started the season by saying that every race was going to be a test and development session. They've kind of come out of that now, but I think Kubica's still driving as a sort of test driver, and maybe that's what they want till the end of the year so they can develop next year's car, but I can't see him being in the Williams in 2020.
No, it's a shame as well, because that could have been a fairy tale story, couldn't it? You know, comes back from his horrific rally crash and then comes back into Formula One and becomes an amazing driver. He's wrong time in the wrong car again, but is he up to it? Probably not now, and it's sad, but you know, he gave it a go. It's good that he made a comeback, like you say, bought some team into Williams, some money into Williams, so he's obviously helped them out as well. But yeah, sad ending.
So we're in the silly season then, and we await to see what happens. There are some key moves that we wait to hear about, which is Mercedes driver lineup for next year, Red Bull's lineup for next year. I think Renault's going to stay pretty unchanged, although Hülkenberg could go somewhere else or be dropped. Loads of speculation about Haas. Grosjean, can he do another year and have another poor year and crash as many times as he does? No, I like him. I think the guy's a really nice bloke, and on many occasions I feel really sorry for him, but he just no good.
Have you ever noticed with Grosjean as well, and if you haven't noticed, next time you see him being interviewed, look at this, how long his neck is. He's got one of the longest necks. He's like a giraffe. It's incredible. But obviously for a Formula One driver, that's not ideal, is it? You want a short, stumpy neck like mine. I've got a neck like a rhino. But he's got a very long giraffe-like neck. Every time he gets interviewed, I can't take my eyes off his neck.
Check out twosoftcompounds.com for the latest news, competitions and updates.
Well, listen, the Spa Grand Prix after the summer break is towards the end of August, which means here at the Two Soft Compounds podcast, we're taking our summer break as well. Scott and I will go away and contemplate the meaning of life.
Yeah, so we'll be back towards the end of August to preview the Spa Grand Prix, which is always a good one. I like Spa. It's a good little track, isn't it, in Belgium? So we'll preview that and the second half of the season, of course, and then we'll get back into some Formula One in September time.
I know you'll miss us, so in the meantime, please follow us on Facebook and Twitter. Just search for Two Soft Compounds. The website's there too. If you want to go back and listen to some of the archive episodes from the start of the 2019 season, you can find them all on our website, www.twosoftcompounds.com. Have a great summer.
Follow Two Soft Compounds on Twitter and Facebook. Search for Two Soft Compounds. Two Soft Compounds is a talk about media production. All opinions are our own.